Praise God. Please be seated.
Thank you. Let's pray. God our Father, we bow before your awesome majesty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us. Right now, Father, we ask that you would release upon us your spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may hear and understand what you want to say to us, what you are going to say to us. And so, Father, I pray that your word which goes forth will not return to you void, but will accomplish the purpose for which you send it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My topic today is the race to glory, and the main text is 2 Peter 1 to, verses 1 to 15. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. The Christian race, the Christian life is a race of faith. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Let us run this race with perseverance, looking unto Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Our race is a race of faith, growing into the likeness of Jesus. It is a race of growing into maturity in Christ, into Christ's likeness, against the time that we have on earth. The time that we've been given should not be trifled with. We each run our own race of faith. In 2 Peter, the apostle is speaking to the Christians of his day, the diaspora, but it is also to Christians down the ages and to us today. Peter is concerned about the flock of Jesus Christ. He's urgent in his desire to guard the flock of Christ. They were and are precious to Jesus. Peter's burden to protect his flock. He probably remembered his own stumblings and failures and denial of Jesus, how he vacillated between faith and fear. He would never forget his denial of Jesus and the Lord's gracious and loving restoration of him. Peter would never forget that memorable day by the Sea of Galilee when Jesus commissioned him to shepherd his flock. And so in today's epistle reading, Peter says, "Make your calling and election sure." The second letter of Peter contains warnings to Christians against false prophets and the false teaching that was creeping into the church. His message has strong implications for us today because there is false teaching floating around, causing Christians to be deceived. In fact, Christians are being deceived. It is the kind of teaching that could lull us, if we are not alert, into complacency and to live careless Christian lives. Peter teaches that the safeguards against slipping or falling in our walk of faith is to ensure that we are growing in our faith and in the character of Christ. Real faith produces real fruit and is evidenced by good works. We can't afford to stagnate in our growth. It is dangerous. Because of what we've received in Christ, there must be spiritual growth. Peter says that growth must be intentional and diligent. Our chronological growth is something we have no control over. Time does not stand still. The clock keeps ticking, and our birthdays come and go, and we grow old. But our personal spiritual growth must be with a conscious effort. Once we become spiritual sons and daughters, growth in the Christian life doesn't happen automatically. So we have to diligently pursue spiritual progress. And here Peter spells out how we might make this progress. Verses 5 to 7 were read earlier, but I repeat. It contains a strong exhortation. Reading from the ESV Bible, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." I like to read to you the New King James Version translation because there are two qualities that I prefer that translation. So I read the New King James Version to you. "Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." The New King James Version translates the word steadfastness as perseverance, and brotherly affection as brotherly kindness. I mention this because this is my preference. Here we will notice that Peter lists seven character qualities that we must seriously pursue. He says we are to add these qualities to our faith. He describes a progression as we begin our life with God with faith. Faith is the key to all growth. We continue trusting in Christ, actively putting our faith in the promises of God. Our walk with God begins with faith, but faith must progress into virtue, to knowledge, to self-control, to perseverance, to godliness, and brotherly kindness and love. Love being the crowning glory of all God's work in us. Let me elaborate a bit on these attributes. Peter says, adding to our saving faith, virtue. When we are born again, we receive God's divine nature. There is in us a virtue, an innate goodness, moral excellence, and nobility of character. Now this must be cultivated, must be nourished and nurtured. To do this, we need God's guidance and wisdom to grow in this goodness, moral excellence, and nobility of character. Because of this, we need knowledge. Now, knowledge has to be the wisdom and guidance that comes from God. We can get this only from the written word of God, our Bible. It is through studying God's word and through prayer that we come to know God in a deeper sense. Our moral compass is formed. We grow in our discernment of right and wrong. Knowing God's ways gives us the absolute values of right and wrong. We learn to hear God and to do His bidding. Our security lies in trusting and obeying the written word of God. Now, in order to apply our knowledge to God's ways and His truths, we must develop self-control. We have to rein in our carnal passions. We have to give up our bad habits. We practice self-discipline. And for instance, it's a huge area which covers in our lives. There are very many aspects, such as eating and drinking, our work and rest, our entertainment, finance, and leisure time activities, and so on. We have to learn to master our emotions and actions and make right choices in all those areas. Peter was a very impulsive man and recognized the importance of this attribute. From being an impulsive man, he became the most trusted apostle. Peter is an example of growth under God. Self-control leads to perseverance. We should not give up easily. We learn to endure patiently under the testings and trials of life. This could even include illnesses through which we build trust in God's love and care and healing. It means keeping faith in God even under hard and trying circumstances. Jesus told his disciples, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Godliness grows from our passion for Christ. It is living to please God. Where there is great love for God, it overflows into God's family. So brotherly kindness is the overflow of our love for Christ. Because of our love for Christ, we develop a generous spirit towards God's family. We see one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a generous spirit towards one another in all our interactions. In our judgments, we will be quick to think the best of one another. God looks into our hearts. The peace we exchange during our services is simply a picture of our affection for God's family. Now, this overflow of love from godliness and brotherly kindness will expand into love. This love is the agape love of God. It is a sacrificial love, a love for the lost. We grow in a love for the grow to love the perishing world without the gospel. In today's world, I think Mother Teresa as being the epitome of that love. This agape love is something that is God's love for the lost. And so when we are filled with love for Him, it will flow out into love for God's family and then for God, the lost, those perishing without the gospel. Many years ago, when I was in the teaching service, I would from time to time have work-related problems with my colleagues. On those occasions, I'd go home and fall on my knees and complain to God. On those occasions, He would graciously answer me. He would give me sometimes words of admonition and other times words of encouragement and comfort. On one occasion, He said to me, "See them through my eyes. I died for them." When we see the world through the eyes of Jesus, and that Jesus was crucified for them too, we will feel differently. In verses 8 and 9, Peter says we use these qualities to measure our Christian walk. These beautiful qualities are not things God simply pours into us as we passively sit and wait. Instead, we are called to make every effort to increase in these things, working in cooperation with God. As these beautiful qualities increase in us, we will display our growing into the likeness of Jesus, our Lord Jesus. Romans 8:29 says this, "Whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren." God's ambition for us is that we become like Jesus. God wants to see the loveliness of His Son in us. The purpose of our efforts towards spiritual growth is to become like Christ. The more these graces increase in us, the more will the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. I'd like to share some verses of a hymn which I believe says it all. The lyrics could be paraphrased into a prayer. I'd like to share a few verses. "May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day, by His love and power controlling all I do and say. May His beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win. And may they forget the channel, seeing only him. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. Through prayer, we will receive the enabling to grow in these seven graces Peter mentions, because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, who is our divine helper. Jesus told his disciples that he was giving them a helper, the Holy Spirit. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the helper, John 14:16. I'd like to share the words of another lyric, which is really a prayer. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wondrous compassion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. During the Anglican renewal in the 1970s and 1980s, early 1980s, Bishop Chubanit was the Bishop of Singapore. During that time, I recall someone making a remark to me saying that Bishop Chu looked like Jesus. The older folk who are still around with us will recall the presence and power of God that characterized his ministry. Verses 8 to 11 tell us that spiritual growth brings practical results. Firstly, Peter says, when we obey his instructions, we will not be barren, but fruitful, displaying the light of Christ in us, verse 8. But next comes a warning, verse 9. Peter says, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. But if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. In this verse, verse 10, Peter is urging us to make our calling and election sure. For the past 3 years, I've had deteriorating vision in my left eye, to the point where I became blind in that eye. Because of poor depth perception, I had to be careful, especially in my walking. I could stumble and even have a fall. I've since had a cornea tissue transplant last September, and my vision has improved immensely. Praise God. My point is this, that poor vision leads to stumbling and the possibility of a fall. As in the natural, so in the spiritual. Peter teaches that if we fail to grow spiritually by developing those seven virtues he mentioned, we become spiritually short-sighted and even to the point of blindness. We could lose our moral discernment and even forget what God has done for us, Christ has done for us, through our new birth. We become vulnerable to deception. In fact, we could become victims of false teaching. Peter drives home the importance of doing everything on our part to make our calling and election sure. Verse 10. I repeat Romans 8:29 as a reminder. Whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And then in verse 11, Peter assures us of a glorious welcome into our heavenly home. Hallelujah. In verses 12 to 15, Peter says it was necessary for him to remind his readers of the basics of the Christian faith. It was important to him because their eternal destiny was at stake, and therefore necessary for Peter to repeat these truths. Peter would have remembered what Jesus had said to him on the night that he was betrayed. Jesus had said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Here Peter fulfilled that command. Peter knew it was right to remind believers constantly because he knew of his approaching death. Persecution was getting hotter and hotter around him. It was a time of Emperor Nero when Christians were being persecuted. He remembered the prophetic word of Jesus that told him he would die a martyr's death. So Peter, being a faithful apostle, has left us a written record, his legacy to the church of all ages. In conclusion, I wish to refer to the gospel reading in John 21. Here we see Christ's public restoration of Peter and his commissioning of Peter to shepherd his flock. In telling Peter, "Tend my sheep," I believe the Lord was specifically addressing the safety of his flock. And Jesus was saying, "Peter, guard my sheep." Peter's letters do just that. A study of Peter's life in the Gospels and some of the epistles revealed to us that Peter was just like us, very human, with all our human frailties. But from faltering faith, he went on to do great things, motivated and driven by his passion for Christ. Peter, like Paul, fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. Hallelujah. Let's pray. God our Father, your word tells us that you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jesus said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." But Father, we fall so, so very short of that standard. And so, Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us in our inner man by the power of your Holy Spirit. Cause Christ to dwell in us through faith, and that we would comprehend with all the saints the height, the length, the breadth, the depth of Christ's love for us, and be filled with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.